This is Bad Attitudes.
Hello, friends and strangers. Welcome to another episode of Bad Attitudes, an uninspiring podcast about disability. I'm your host, Laura. In today's episode, I'm putting myself on blast and talking about my most ableist habit. Today's episode is sponsored by Barbara McCoy. Thank you, Barbara. If you are enjoying the podcast, if you find it helpful and informative, and you would also like to sponsor an episode, consider buying me a coffee. Go to ko-fi.com/badattitudespod to donate the cost of a coffee towards the expenses of running this podcast. Send any questions, comments, or ideas to badattitudespod@gmail.com or reach out on social media. Follow @badattitudespod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with your friends, and be sure to subscribe so you are notified every time I drop a new episode. Please take a minute to leave a review for the podcast. It really helps get us in front of new potential listeners. I'll put direct links to where you can leave a review in the episode description. As always, I want to remind you that disability is not a monolith. Although some aspects are universal, my experience as a disabled person is going to be different from the experiences of other disabled people. I am one voice for the disabled community, but I am not the only voice. I am what you might call a grammar enthusiast. I have a natural, ingrained ability to pick out typos, misspellings, and grammatical errors with ease. I do it without thought. Television broadcasts, newspapers, books, social media posts. If there is text with an error, I'm almost certainly going to see it. Same goes for verbal errors. If a television anchor mispronounces a word, I'm going to call them out. From the privacy of my living room, of course. If they form a sentence incorrectly, I'm going to say something. As you might guess, the years of Trump's presidency were very painful for me in more ways than one. Kofefe. For the most part, this ability comes in very handy. I got a bachelor's degree in English. While in college, my campus job was to proofread and correct other students' written work. I wrote a column for my local newspaper. I worked for 2 years as an editorial assistant for a local magazine. On my first issue while at the magazine, I was the only one who caught that tattoo was spelled wrong in an ad that had been running for months prior to my arrival. For all intents and purposes, this is a laudable talent. I'm basically the go-to for anyone in my life who needs something proofread. I once left a review on Goodreads for a book mentioning several typographical errors, and the author herself reached out to me and asked me to send her a list of the errors so she could correct them. Truth be told, I've been trying for years to figure out how to break into the publishing world as a proofreader. I'm seriously considering just contacting authors of major published works on social media to let them know I have found errors in their books, which should have been caught by their own copy editors before the book even went to press. If you have some connections, hit me up. The most egregious error I've ever found? An author wrote that the tibia, the shin bone of the leg, is in the arm. I'm still amazed I didn't throw that book in the garbage and actually finished reading it. So yes, calling me a grammar enthusiast is an understatement. I've never been a fan of text speak. When I was growing up, there was a point where it was cool to spell cool, K-E-W-L, and I hardcore judged any of my peers who did so in any way that wasn't satirical. Correcting other people's writings became so ingrained in me, I would do it everywhere, without thinking. It didn't occur to me that, A, no one really cared about typos in Facebook posts, although it seems to me that we should, or that, B, correcting people without compunction might not be well received. I mean, why wouldn't you want to know that you made a teeny tiny error and people were going to think you were unintelligent if you didn't fix it at once? Then I started to hear rumblings of ableism. No one came out and called me ableist, at least not directly, for which I am grateful. But I was made to know, in no uncertain terms, that constantly correcting the innocent mistakes of strangers was, in fact, ableist. At first, I didn't buy it. This wasn't ableism. This was me noticing people making mistakes that could potentially make them appear less smart and pointing them out in a public forum. Totally different. But then I started thinking about it. My mom has worked with students with learning disabilities since I was in high school. A lot of them would write with multiple errors, but that doesn't mean they couldn't get their message across. If I knew the people I was correcting had dyslexia or another learning disability, would I judge them as harshly as I was? I was assuming that everyone I was correcting on social media was neurotypical, like me. I was giving preference to neurotypical brains over neurodivergent brains, even though I was equally likely to encounter either one. Well, fuck me. In this case, I am the ableist. After more consideration and conversation with friends, I realized that not only was the constant correcting of people whose stories I didn't know ableist, it was also classist and racist. Well, fuck me again. I was privileged in education. When I was growing up, our public school systems weren't the shit show they are now. I had quality teachers who cared. Classes weren't overcrowded and students weren't only taught how to take tests. Because I was considered gifted, I was given more opportunities. I was able to attend a private college with no debt, and then, just a few years later, I was able to return to school simply because I wanted to. On top of all that, I'm white. Patterns of speech and writing that are taught as being correct are based on white speech patterns. White people dominated the creation of grammar rules and guidelines. Cultural vernacular of non-whites was not a consideration. Non-whites were expected to conform to white speech patterns, and for much of history, were not allowed to learn to read or write. If they did, they were taught by white people using white rules. All these realizations hit me hard because I had always been proud of my ability to see the mistakes other people missed. It felt like a superpower because, like I said, no one else seemed to see what I did. And I thought people would want to know because I would want to know. It hadn't occurred to me before that it might be harmful. So, am I reformed? Well, yes and no. I'm still an enthusiastic grammarian. I still notice all the mistakes, I just don't always mention them. They still bother me, but I keep it to myself, especially on social media. I still think it's important to know the difference between your and your, and there, and there, and two, two, and two. I wish more people understood the difference between something sounding aloud and something one is allowed to do, or that the aisle that is an island is very different from the aisle in a grocery store. Some people and places don't get passes. Professionally published books and their publishers and authors for one, news outlets for another, people trying to insult me for a third. This usually happens whenever I express a decidedly left-wing opinion that a right-winger has a problem with. In the first place, I don't care what they think because I'm not entirely sure that they do think. And in the second place, I really don't care what they think if they misspell 50% of their opinion. I will also reach out to stores who have products that are misspelled and are clearly not meant to be. I have done it before. I will do it again. I just think that if you're offering a professional product, you should be made aware if you have a glaring error on it. I'm telling you this because I want you to realize that when I tell you about a seemingly innocuous behavior, like what language you use being ableist, I want you to know I'm not just talking out my ass. I want you to recognize the importance of self-reflection when it comes to our ingrained behaviors, because so much of what is ableist about society is ingrained in us. And none of us are completely free from ableist tendencies, not even the disabled. It can seem like the only people who need to work on their ableism are non-disabled people, but it's a societal problem that we all need to work on. A pretty short episode this week, but I thought it was an important one. Apologies for missing last week, but I'm back and I've got some good ideas for the next few weeks. Don't forget to email me or reach out on social media. I've been getting messages from a few of you and I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for listening and I'll talk to you in the next one.